put things back to normal
That's
and
exactly what I'm going to do. That's the approach
I'll
I'm going to
pray for
take.
you and
Thank you. I'm going to say, please just remove and reverse all of this because I'm in, this is not working. I can barely talk.
And we want to get back to the normal condition the way it was. Missing a tooth is not unusual. A lot of people don't have all their teeth.
Yeah.
Gonna kill you.
Not
Despite what they
that,
say, despite
no.
what they say.
Not a big deal. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like we're talking about, like five teeth. It's like one little thing. So, but again, they're
I'm
looking at
sorry.
like, oh, a tooth is missing. That's 5 grand, which is.
No, well, let's not. I don't want. Don't try to attack them. Don't accuse them of
Right,
anything
well,
like
I'm out
that.
about $5,000.
You're out. What? It's an ed $5,000 education. I don't know what to say. Let's open a prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us. We pray for now, right now, for John, that you would have mercy on him, lead him to the help that he needs. Give him grace when he deals with the dentist so that this matter can be resolved in a way that's correct. We trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 23, the Tyre pronouncement. Howl, you ships of Tarshish, for havoc has been wrought, not a house is left. As they came from the land of Kittim, this was revealed to them. Moan, you coastland dwellers, you traders of Sidon. Once thronged by seafarers over many waters, your revenue came from the trade of nations, from the grain of Shinar, the harvest of the Nile. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea, this stronghold of the sea, declares, I am as one who has never labored, never given birth, never raised youths or reared maidens. When the Egyptians heard it, they quailed, as when they heard about Tyre. Pass on to Tarshish, howl, you coastland dwellers. Was such your merry city in former times of yore? Did her feet carry her off to sojourn far away? Who was it that planned this for crown-wearing Tyre, whose merchants were nobles, whose traders the world honored? The Lord of hosts planned it to defile all glorious beauty, to shame all the honored of the world. Traverse your land like the Nile, fair Tarshish. This is a harbor no more. The Lord poised his arm o'er the sea and made kingdoms quake. It was he decreed destruction for Phoenicia's strongholds and said, you shall be gay no more. O plundered one, fair maiden Sidon, up, cross over to Kittim. Even there you shall have no rest. Behold the land of Chaldea. This is the people that has ceased to be. Assyria, which founded it for ships, which raised its watchtowers, erected its ramparts, has turned it into a ruin. Howl, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is destroyed. In that day, Tyre shall remain forgotten for 70 years, equaling the lifetime of one king. After a lapse of 70 years, it shall go with Tyre as with the harlot and the ditty. Take a lyre, go about the town, harlot long forgotten. Sweetly play, make music much, to bring you back to mind. For after a lapse of 70 years, the Lord will take note of Tyre, and she shall resume her fee-taking and play the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. But her prophets and hire shall be consecrated to the Lord. They shall not be treasured or stored. Rather, shall her prophets go to those who abide before the Lord, eat their fill, and clothe themselves elegantly. And I'll just make this comment on this section. This again is a continuation of the judgments that are being pronounced by God on all of the nations. We've heard about Babylon, I guess Egypt, Damascus. Tyre is one more. Tyre was a, of course, one of the cities in what today is Lebanon. It's on the coast of the Mediterranean. Obviously, it was in an ideal position for international trade and was extremely wealthy as a result of being in that position. And what took place historically when during that time at the end of well, as always, there's always a lot of political turmoil, but after the at the time when Judah and Israel, the Northern Kingdom, were first on and lost their independence and went into captivity and were actually removed as a population from the land, and only a small number were left in what was Israel. A lot of foreigners were imported into that area. The whole world at that time was in a lot of turmoil, and you can see that in the description of the judgment on Tyre, how there's this awe and shock as how this wealthy nation could be brought to nothing. And it just reinforces over and over again what you see in history, that however great a nation might think it is, it's not invincible. It's not beyond.
Yeah, that makes me think about America.
Yeah, definitely.
How we've been so strong for what? 2 centuries now,
200.
you
200,
know,
yes.
and it would be amazing if you know, if we weren't like that, you know, as some
Yeah.
people say, man, remember America was like the number one. It would be hard to imagine that, but it's happened
Yeah.
before.
It's happened many times. Nobody should ever think that the scriptures say God sets kings up and he brings them down. And when the lesson that is for us and for every nation should be, when you are falling into hard times, to remember the Lord, not to forget him. Don't think it's your strength that built that made you strong. Everything that you have
Yes.
comes from the Lord.
I try to remind myself of that every day.
Yeah. 24. Behold, the Lord will strip the earth bare and lay it waste and twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. Layman and priest shall fare alike, slave and master, handmaid and mistress, buyer and seller, lender and borrower, creditor and debtor. The earth shall be bare, bare, it shall be plundered, plundered, for it is the Lord who spoke this word. The earth is withered, sere, the world languishes, it is sere. The most exalted people of the earth language, for the earth was defiled under its inhabitants, because they transgressed teachings, violated laws, broke the ancient covenant. That is why a curse consumes the earth, and its inhabitants pay the penalty. That is why earth dwellers have dwindled, and but few men are left. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, and all the merry-hearted sigh. Stilled is the merriment of timbrels. Ended the clamor of revelers, stilled the merriment of lyres. They drink their wine without song, liquor tastes bitter to the drinker. Towns are broken, empty, every house is shut, none enters. Even over wine, a cry goes up in the streets. The sun is set on all joy. The gladness of the earth is banished, desolation is left in the town, and the gate is battered to ruins. For thus shall it be among the peoples in the midst of the earth. As when the olive tree is beaten out, like gleanings when the vintage is over. These shall lift up their voices, exult in the majesty of the Lord. They shall shout from the sea. Therefore, honor the Lord with lights in the coastlands of the sea. The name of the Lord, the God of Israel, from the end of the earth, we hear singing, glorious glory to the righteous. And I said, I waste away, I waste me. The faithless have acted faithlessly. The faithless have broken faith. Terror and pity and trap upon you who dwell on earth. He who flees at the report of the terror shall fall into the pit, Any who climbs out of the pit shall be caught in the trap, for sluices are opened on high, and earth's foundations tremble. The earth is breaking, breaking. The earth is crumbling, crumbling. The earth is tottering, tottering. The earth is swaying like a drunkard. It is rocking to and fro like a hut. Its iniquity shall weigh it down, and it shall fall to rise no more. In that day, the Lord will punish the host of heaven in heaven, and the kings of the earth on earth. They shall be gathered in a dungeon as captives are gathered, and shall be locked up in prison. But after many days, they shall be remembered. I have a little note that I wrote in the margin here to see Revelation 20, which of course talks about the Satan being bound in the pit for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
You see how that ties in? They shall be locked up in prison. After many days, they shall be remembered.
Yeah.
Then the moon shall be ashamed and the sun shall be abashed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and the presence will be revealed to his elders. So
So,
it's a
what
real
is
picture.
this
Yeah, go ahead.
saying that?
I think it's a picture of the ultimate end of the nations of the world just before the return of Christ.
I mean, but does that mean that the world is going to be destroyed?
The
Because
world
I guess.
system, not the physical world, it ultimately will be. Because if you know from Revelation, it says that after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and the judgment seat, then all mankind will stand before God in judgment. At that point, after the judgment is determined, the earth itself will be destroyed and reformed as the new heaven and new earth. So there will be a physical destruction of the earth after the judgment in order to reform it as the dwelling place of God among his people.
Okay, so this is not talking about the physical destruction.
At this point, probably not. This seems to be talking because it says the moon will be, you know how Jesus said in that day the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood.
Yeah.
It says the moon will be ashamed, the sun will be abashed. There's going to be some kind of diminishing of the sun and the moon. In Revelation, it talks about how there will be neither the night nor day, but like this continual like half between it's going to be like night and day. There'll be a And it, the light will be the light of the Lamb. That's just what Revelation says. I don't know how to explain that, but there's going to be a change in the physical dwelling that we experience. And we talked about this last time when we were talking about the lion and the lamb lying down, and how we mentioned that nature itself going to experience some kind of transformation. How would that be possible otherwise?
Yeah.
It's after, because now you're living in a time when God is manifesting himself on the earth in Christ, in his people who have been revived and restored to a proper position in relationship with God. Remember, the Bible says that at the end time, there's going to be a great falling away. It's not like we're getting better and better and better. And eventually we're going to get so good that God decides to send Christ to earth. There's a maturing, a spiritual maturing that's going on within the body of Christ. But the world per se is not getting better. It's getting worse and worse.
Oh, yes, 100%. Which is why I think it's so crazy that the liberals are always striving to make the world a better place.
They
And they're
have no other hope.
right.
That's the point.
But it's an impossible, sorry. It's
Yeah.
an impossibility. And they always think that, that we need to leave the world better for future generations, and we have to improve. And that's why we always have to have these, we have to change these laws so that, we're living in this world that is oppressive, according to their, perspective. But in the future, my great great grandkids will have this free, liberated, wonderful, and we can make it better. Let's say, but the Bible never says that the world's going to get better. It's only getting worse and worse, and will continue to get worse.
Well, the world apart from God is going to continue to get worse. But I do think there is a sense in which the world will be better in the future. But it's not going to be because man made it better. It's going to be because man will have God's extending mercy to mankind right now. That's what Peter says. God's, in other words, it's not that God is delaying his return because he's lax or he's not, he doesn't care, but that he's trying to extend mercy to mankind. Remember in the story of Sodom, where the angels come down, and what did they say? They said, "We've come down because the cry of Sodom has reached up to heaven, and we've come down to see if it's really as bad as it is." And there's another point where I don't know which passage it is. It's where God is talking about one of the towns in Canaan, I think, and he says something like, "The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled or come to fulfillment." And it's like he's delaying his judgment because the people haven't yet manifested their full rebellion against God. And he's waiting for them to do that before he judges them. It's an interesting principle. I see that.
I'm glad that you said that, because I've often wondered why God hasn't just said, okay, that's it,
Well, I
as I
think it's
probably would have
because,
done already. I would have just said, all right, that's it,
yeah, you would have said, let's just pull the plug on the whole thing. And God is saying, yeah, but I can't, that isn't really just because they need to be given the opportunity to either repent or to manifest the full extent of their rebellion. And when they do, then my judgment is going to be just what, because they'll have utterly rejected me in the light of all of the opportunities and all of the knowledge of my goodness. In fact, that's why I think the nations, Satan is loosed after the 1,000 years. I may have expressed this before. The reason is the nations need to be given the full experience of the kingdom of God and then given another opportunity to say, no, we'd rather follow Satan.
That I cannot understand that.
But don't you see how that makes the judgment of God
I see how
just?
that certainly makes it just. I just don't understand how you can experience 1,000 years of perfection and then reject Christ after that and say, no, we want to have Satan rule over us.
Doesn't the book of Hebrews talk about those of us who have tasted of the salvation of God and then turn away from our salvation? And he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I don't think it's impossible. I think it shows the true poverty of mankind is revealed. We tend to think we're better than we are, but we have In Adam, we failed. And it's not like we got better afterwards. What we need, God's provided the answer for us. He's given us salvation in Christ. That's where our salvation lies. If you want to do it on your own, it isn't going to work. When you're talking about the people who keep saying, "Oh, well, we're going to make it better for our children," that's not a bad desire in and of itself. Of course, you want to make things better, but the
Right.
problem is, why are if
Well,
you the better is you've got to get to the better in the right way. You can't do it by saying, "Well, we want to make things better because we know God's not anything for us, so we're gonna do it for ourselves,
right. And we're going to make it better apart from
and
God.
we're gonna do it." Yeah, that's where the problem is.
That's really the satanic spirit at work today, is that we're gonna make this world perfect apart from God, without this idea of God.
Yeah,
And that's
it
the
is. This is, it's, I know it's, I think that's the ultimate message from the very beginning, that Satan, that was the nature of Satan's rebellion. He saw himself as being equal to God, that he could do just as good job as God or better. He was, and I believe, although this is not explicitly stated in the Bible, but I think he saw the creation of man as an outrage. He should have been the one who was chosen by God to rule and reign over creation. And instead, he was told, "No, I'm going to create man. I'm going to create another race."
It's like when you're, it's like being, it's like in the corporate environment when someone gets promoted and
And you're
you're
in a,
making him the
exactly.
VP. I've been working here for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. And then you try to sabotage the
Then you
whole
sabotage the
organization.
company. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I think it's something like that.
Yeah. And you're right. I think from Eden on, it's been, I'm going to set up my system, and we're going to have a utopia outside of God's laws, which is again silly, because certainly Satan knows of the chaos that he's creating and what all of those policies will ultimately lead to.
I don't know. I don't know that he sees it. You see, good and evil are not absolutes in the way that we think of it necessarily. Good is good because it's God, because God is good. Satan, we're looking at what Satan does and says, "Oh, that's evil." Well, it's evil in the sense that it's not good for us, and it isn't, because what he does is outside of the plan of God. But from his perspective, it's good, because all the instead of worshiping God,
Right, but I guess what I'm
you'll be
saying is,
worshiping him.
right, but if we can see that people are becoming far more violent and
Violent,
aggressive and angry and
selfish.
self-centered, we see that certainly Satan, he's not stupid. He knows that, and he can see in the future where these policies are leading to and how people are growing in violence and anger. So how can he think that his system is working when, if we can see where things are going, certainly he can. And so how does he think that violence and anger and a murderous spirit and hatred is going to be a utopia, even for his own people? Forget Christians. I mean,
Difficult.
non-Christians get murdered all the time.
Yeah. I think it's similar to the same. I think it's the same way an individual who decides to become a murderer and a liar thinks that it's good. Why does certainly a person who chooses to become, let's say, a gangster, knows that he's going to be hurting a lot of people. He's going to be stealing money from a lot of people. But he sees it, it's good because it's benefiting him.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, it's not like it's something unusual. It's normal in the world. Everybody who's not a child of God thinks that way all the time. Everybody's a little saint in essence. We're
Yeah.
all trying establish our kingdom on earth. The only difference is we have absolutely no way of doing that. But he does have a way. At least he sees he has a way. He has a way to replace God on earth. He thinks that is the final conflict.
Wow,
When,
man.
least that's how I see it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, yeah, that's why that's what leads to the final conflict.
The final conflict, right? So anyway,
So this chapter is describing a breakdown of the systems.
right, the world system. Yeah, then in 25, we're breaking into praise, I guess, after all this is over. Oh Lord, you are my God. I will extol you. I will praise your name, for you planned your graciousness of old, counsels of steadfast faithfulness. For you have turned the city into a stone heap, a walled town into a ruin, the citadel of strangers into rubble, never to be rebuilt. Therefore, fierce people must honor you, a city of cruel nations must fear you. For you've been a refuge for the poor man, a shelter for the needy man in his distress, shelter from rainstorm, shade from heat when the fury of tyrants was like a winter rainstorm. The rage of strangers like heat in the desert. You subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The singing of the tyrants who was vanquished. The Lord of hosts will make on this mount for all the peoples a banquet of rich viands, a banquet of choice wines. Of rich viands seasoned with marrow, choice wines well refined, and he will destroy on this mount the shroud that is drawn over the faces of all the peoples, and the covering that is spread over all the nations. He will destroy death forever. My Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces and will put an end to the reproach of his people over all the earth, for it is the Lord who has spoken. In that day they shall say, "This is our God. We trusted in him. And he delivered us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice and exult in his deliverance. For the hand of the Lord shall descend upon this mount, and Moab shall be trampled under him, as straw is threshed to bits at Madmah. Then he will spread out his hands in their homeland, as a swimmer spreads his ha hands out to swim, and he will humble their pride, along with the emblems of their power. Yea, the secure fortification of their walls they will lay low, will raise to the ground, to the very dust. What do we got? One. Let me continue on this one chapter 26, then we'll stop, okay? John?
Yes.
In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. Ours is a mighty city. He makes victory our inner and outer wall. Open the gates and let a righteous nation enter, a nation that keeps faith. The confident mind you guard in safety because it trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever and ever, for in Yah, the Lord, you have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low those who dwelt high up. He humbled the secure city, humbled it to the ground. Leveled it with dust to be trampled underfoot by the feet of the needy, by the souls of the poor. The path is level for the righteous man. O just one, you make smooth the course of the righteous. For your just ways, O Lord, we look to you. We long for the name by which you are called. At night I yearn for you with all my being. I seek you with all the spirit within me. For when your judgments are wrought on earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. But when the scoundrel is spared, he learns not righteousness. In a place of integrity, he does wrong. He ignores the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, they see not your hand exalted. Let them be shamed as they behold your zeal for your people and fire consuming your adversaries, O Lord. May you appoint well-being for us, since you have also requited all our misdeeds. O Lord, our God, lords other than you possessed us, but only your name shall we utter. They are dead, they can never live. Shades, they can never rise. Of a truth, you have dealt with them and wiped them out, have put an end to all mention of them. When you added to the nation, O Lord, when you added to the nation, extending all the boundaries of the land, you were honored. O Lord, in their distress, they sought you. Your chastisement reduced them to anguished, whispered prayer. Like a woman with child approaching childbirth, writhing and screaming in her pangs, so are we become because of you, O Lord. We were with child, we writhed. It is as though we had given birth to wind. We have won no victory on earth. The inhabitants of the world have not come to life. O let your dread revive. Let corpses arise. Awake and shout for joy, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew on fresh growth. You make the land of the shades come to life. Go, my people, enter your chambers and lock your doors behind you. Hide but a little moment until the indignation passes. For lo, the Lord shall come forth from his place to punish the dwellers of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth shall disclose its bloodshed and shall no longer conceal its slain. That's.
I think that last verse is really interesting, which is the earth will
Yeah.
also disclose her blood, because that really makes me think of there's a verse in the Bible that says and all of the blood shed on the earth from the righteous, from righteous Abel, right?
Yeah, you will help bring them into account for all the bloodshed from Cain, from Abel,
Oh,
all the way down
yeah,
to
from
Zechariah or something that.
yeah. Which is really amazing to
Yeah,
think.
I know everybody, today everybody wants justice. And I think a lot of that's reflected in the anger over, Epstein and all of that. We want the truth, we want justice, but it's beyond our capability. God is the only one who can really expose who's guilty and who's innocent. When we try to do justice on earth, something's always hidden. There's scapegoats who are, take the brunt, and then the real criminals are still go free, what I'm saying. But here, when he punishes the dwellers of the earth will disclose its bloodshed and no longer conceal its slain. It will be a perfect justice.
And then there's also in verse 9, where it says the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That's also mentioned in Revelation. Just as in the previous chapter, verse 8, it
Yeah,
says the Lord will
that's
wipe away
another.
all the tears from from their faces.
Yeah, that's another aspect of what we were talking about before with the when you were saying you didn't understand how they could rebel after seeing 1,000 years of perfect rule. In a sense, they need to see that perfect rule because they don't even know what righteousness is. In other words, how can you choose righteousness if you don't even know what it is really? You think it's everybody has these crazy concept of what's right. That's why you have all these woke rules and you got to do it this way and And if you don't, you're then you're an evil person. It's almost like they make rules up
I
to cover their own
saw a
nakedness.
lady wearing a shirt in the grocery store last week and said, "Woke is not the insult that you think it is." And I'm like, "Yes, it is. It's 100% is."
Well,
I think also when we it's like when we think of 1,000 years, how can you then turn from that? But we have to remember that it's not 1,000 years of an individual's experience, right?
right.
Because we only have 100 years at best, right?
Right now, I don't know. I wouldn't make predictions about the lifespan within the millennium because it does say in one of the prophets that an old a man of
Oh, that's right.
120 years would be considered as a youth. So the lifespan may be radically increased during that time also.
Yes, it does say that. That's right. I guess
However,
what my point was is that we say, 1,000 years of perfect rule, how can you rebel against that? But that would be equivalent of us going, like the world being this
living
way
10 times longer than we do
since
now. Yeah.
year 1025. That's so long ago that you would
Instead
just
of
say,
it being 2025, it would be 3025, a
or
thousand
I'm
years
thinking even looking backwards though,
now. Yeah.
so the world has been this way since 1025. That's
Right.
so long ago. We don't even
Yeah.
have any clue about,
Well, we Char it's the time of Charlemagne,
yeah.
really long time ago.
Right. And so I guess I could see then if we, in our lives and our generations, it's like, yeah, from 1025, and then I don't know, it those 1,000 years come to an end, you might think, well, maybe we should see an alternative. Does that make sense? I don't know. It's hard to express that, but
I don't think it says Satan will go about to deceive the nations. There will be a deception. He's obviously going to make a promise. He's going to make a pitch. Well, yeah, you've had a thousand good years, but look at it, this, you didn't, how free were you? There's always this idea of freedom, and it becomes a distortion of what true freedom is for the most part. People who think they're free, and it's not really that they're free, it's that they want to express their lusts in opposition to what God has ordained.
right.
And they actually are opening themselves up just to be the slaves of another master. When you are in subjection to God, granted, Satan can call that slavery, but this is actually the truest freedom because you are now living in harmony with the will of the person who created you. If you have a car that you made to drive down the street, and that car decides it wants to go in the opposite direction that you want to go, you're going to be slamming on the brakes. You're going to be, turning the steering wheel. You're going to be fighting with it the whole way. The car is going to say, "Oh, I'm got this terrible, slave master driver." The driver who made you wants you to function normally to achieve the purposes for which he created you.
Yeah, that's a good
You
analogy.
want to go in an opposite direction, you're still being driven, but just maybe by a different driver, not by the one who created you.
Right, you're going to be driven in a
And
destruction derby
maybe,
or
and to
something
your,
like that.
yeah, right, and maybe to your destruction, and definitely to your destruction. and not for what you were created, and not in the way that you were created to be.
Yeah.
Mankind right now, the way it looks, what they want, it almost seems like they want to be possessed by a greater intelligence,
Oh,
not
100%.
and that's the whole, I think that's what's behind AI
Yeah.
largely.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great. We had this chip that we could have in our brains, and we could have instant access to all knowledge.
Yeah. Because yeah, doctors can use that and programmers can use that, and it's just great to say, to have the AI just do all of these things for us. And I
Yeah,
think that's
no,
the
it's.
attraction with the aliens too, is that we want a superior life form to appear, because how
But isn't
else?
it ironic though that once you mention the name of the Lord though as being the one who created you, that's when it's a problem. It's not a problem if it's an alien. It's not a problem if it's something that we've
Yeah,
created.
that's interesting too.
But it is if it's God.
Yeah, that's a good point. If the aliens did show up and they say, "We're the ones who created you," people say, "Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We can get down with that." Why is it that they're okay with that? But if it's like, "No, God created you," they hate that.
Yeah. And that's interesting.
Yeah. They wouldn't rebel against the aliens. Yeah, that's very telling.
Anyway, John,
Have a
I
good
think,
night, Dad.
yeah, we'll shut this down for tonight. We'll